أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا صدق الله العظيم All praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties His blessing upon us Alhamdulillah we are doing now the segment on Tazkiyatun Nafs Tazkiyatun Nafs means purification of the soul and a person has to be clean and pure at the time of his death and when he's meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest quality of tazkiyatun nafs, as we are busy discussing, and I think there's only one we're going to discuss this Ramadan, is the inculcation of taqwa. We have given the definition of taqwa, and in last week's talk we spoke about the various characteristics of taqwa. If a person got this quality, and if he stays away from that quality, stays away from haram, carnal desires, for example, he stays away from lying, or if he does a good deed where he's helping somebody else, he's got patience, he's got gratitude. So all these things are, we can call part of taqwa. So that is the amount of taqwa a person has got. Now the question arises, that how much and what is the last point of taqwa when you can say this person has got taqwa already? That's the first question. And the second question is that do we even know what we are looking for when we are saying we are taqwa? We have been told in Ramadan, you know what, when you fast and you acquire taqwa, so we are supposed to be looking for that. We spoke about the levels of taqwa. So what is it? If you don't know it, you might just miss it. One person was told, you know what, in the marketplace there, they are distributing diamonds for free. You better go and fetch it. So he went through the marketplace, he came back. He said, I don't see anything happening there. By the way, what's a diamond? He didn't even know what was a diamond. He didn't know what to get. So do we know what is taqwa? So that's the first thing. The second thing is the level of taqwa that is supposed to be acquired will be understood by this ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati. O believers, fear Allah ta'ala as is the right of Allah ta'ala to be feared. Now what is the right of Allah ta'ala to be feared? Do we even know what is the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can fear him according to that? No, we can't. The right of Allah ta'ala to be feared according to us is that we must continue and continue and continue. So there isn't the end point because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position is so high, it is beyond our comprehension. So therefore, if we don't know what is the position of Allah ta'ala, we will not be able to fear him as is right, but we must continue to aspire. So that is our position. As far as the Anbiya alayhi salam are concerned, Alhamdulillah, they have got a very special gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of prophethood. And that prophethood is such that they are already given in there, we can call a built-in taqwa. So they will at all times have a very, very high level of taqwa, which we can't even imagine. So the next level of taqwa after that is that of siddiqiyat. Siddiqiyat, like we speak of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So our Shaykh, whenever he used to make dua, rahimahullah, Azad Hakim Sahib, he used to say, oh Allah, raise us to the stage of siddiqiyat, after which there's no other stage because then it's prophethood. Nobody can ask for a prophethood or nobody can become a prophet. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu holds the highest level of what siddiqiyat, that means of sainthood and of taqwa in this entire ummah. And it's siddiq actually means one who accepts the orders and the commands of Allah Ta'ala honestly and without any question. And he got this title at the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back from Mi'raj and everybody was questioning and wondering and doubting. He said, I accept without any question that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did go for Mi'raj. So that's where he got the title of Siddiq. Then also if you look at his life of piety, there are so many beautiful stories with regard to his piety. We know that after he became the Khalifa, then when he was given a certain amount of allowance from the Baytul Mal, he used to bring that home and he used to spend it. And his wife one day decided, you know, we need to have some dessert also. So she kept some money back. And then after a few days, she said, I've saved so much of money, so we can just use this money to go buy dessert. So he said, we save money. That means I've been overpaid. Give me that money and we'll give it back to the Baytul Mal. Now what quality of piety and taqwa this man had. So because he didn't want to use one single cent from the Baytul Mal, the public treasury, which was not due to him. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's position of taqwa, once his servant or a slave brought for him some milk. These stories are all in the Fazail Amal, you must read them. So he basically drank the milk and he found a very funny taste in there. So he asked his servant, where you got this milk from? So the servant said, you know what, there were some camels of Sadaqah that were grazing there outside. Camels of Sadaqah. They were grazing there outside, and the person took out some milk and gave it to me. Sidna Umar said, no, we can't have Sadaqah. Those camels are of Sadaqah. The milk is of Sadaqah. He put his finger in his throat and he vomited everything out. So this is a level of taqwa that we are talking of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And obviously the list is unending with regard to the examples of what lives of piety these people had acquired. So keeping in mind that there is a level which we can try and reach, there is a level which we can never ever reach, but there are certain questions, there are certain actions which we spoke about last week that actually can make us try and improve the level of our taqwa. We spoke about it. Now, the other thing also we made mention of, and this is part of today's talk, is that nobody can get taqwa just like that, like we mentioned, by the press of a button. A person has to understand that I am making an effort to acquire taqwa. And I am going to get it right the more effort I make. And it is a step-by-step effort. It is a gradual effort. So a person at all times need to introspect when he's doing various actions. Was this action of mine according to the obedience and the command of Allah? Or was it something that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So therefore, he will then stay away from it if he knows it is something wrong. And slowly, slowly, every action of his will then come onto taqwa. Now we are in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And we generally, all of us, we make an effort to abstain from sin in the month of Ramadan. So each one knows what is the condition of his sins. Somebody got some major sins they are carrying out. Some have got minor sins, whatever it is. So a person who wants to inculcate taqwa, while he's staying away from all the sins, he must say, this year, or this Ramadan, I'm going to stay away from this sin even after Ramadan. So he targets, he specifies one particular sin. Like that, he can take all also if he wants to, but sometimes it's not going to be possible. Like the fellows who smoke, you know, they want to get out of it. So we tell them, Ramadan is here now. So you really cut down on your smokes, on your cigarettes. So then after Ramadan, you must just try and keep up that and slowly, slowly cut down. So then you'll be fine. So the same with taqwa, we identify what sin is the most harmful to us. And people are involved in different kinds of sins. Some people are lying, some are cheating, some are committing zina, some are casting lustful gazes, and some are using ghibat, whatever it might be. So each time these sins come our way, we must remember it's something we need to remove from our system, and we must get it out from our system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make dua to Him to inculcate taqwa in us, Allah will not only make the way easy for us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from such sins that go against the grain of taqwa. And there are a lot of examples you can give. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, before he became a prophet, before he got nubuwwat, when he was still in the youth, maybe 16, 17 years old, he was grazing the sheep outside Makkah. And he had a friend with him who was also helping to graze. And there was an event taking place in Makkah, which in this day and age we'll regard not the best of events, some enjoyment, some entertainment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still not a Nabi. He was still going to become a Nabi. So he told his friend, tonight I'm going to Makkah, I'm going to the city to go and listen to whatever poetry or whatever singing is taking place, whatever the event is. This is a hadith. And then, so you must look after my sheep for me. So the friend said, no problem, you can do that. I'll look after it. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left there, he fell down unconscious. And then he only got up in the morning. And then his friend asked him, so how was the show last night, whatever you went for? So he says, I fainted. I didn't go anywhere. I don't know. So the next day, again, he tried the same thing. Again, the same thing happened. So then he realized that this is not for him. So Allah Ta'ala protects a person. We're using the example of the highest person. Okay, he didn't have prophethood at that time, but subhanAllah. So even one person was saying, I was on my way once to a show somewhere, one of the Muharram shows around here. And there was such a flood on the way that all the traffic got jammed. There was no way we could go front and back. So he said, I realized Allah Ta'ala wanted to protect me. So if you make niyyah for staying away from sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us, inshallah. And if we don't make an effort in the month of Ramadan, while we are fasting, to get out of the bad habits and sin, then the taqwa will not be acquired. It is like a fellow, he goes into the rehab for treatment to get him out of the habit of addiction, drug addiction. Now, the rehab with all the facilities there that you must not do whatever therapies and that. But this fellow on the side, he's busy getting the stuff again and he's busy consuming it. So he's in the rehab, but at the same time, he's doing haram. So he's not going to come out of that particular habit of his. So therefore, we must understand that we have to get taqwa. Number two is we must make what is called in the terminology of the mashayikh, i'tirafi qusur, that I confess that I've got sins. Only then a person will go for treatment. If a person got some sickness and a doctor catches him and says, what's wrong? He says, no, everything is right. My heart is right. Everything is right. So he's not going to get treatment. The person must go to the doctor and he must tell the doctor, I've got his problems. And the doctor will then prescribe for him some or other kind of treatment. So do not avoid it. One person says, I don't go to doctors and specialists because I got some things, but they're going to tell me this is wrong with you and that is wrong with you. So I don't do nothing about anything. So therefore, he's not going to get treated. Maybe he needs some serious treatment. So the same with our spiritual life, we must try and identify and go to one of the mashayikh, the spiritual guides, and tell them, I've got this problem, how do you overcome it? In this way, inshallah, we'll overcome it. Allah give us tawfiq.